You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
A very good Thursday morning to you. Mike McNamara in for a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. And I apologize for not hitting the play button yesterday. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the show, I put it up at about the time it was supposed to play live. I put it up on the website, so hopefully if you wanted to listen, you got a chance. But I recorded everything, did everything, and then forgot to hit play. Not gonna lie to you, I'm not proud of it. And then somebody, you know, I had my business cell in one pocket, and I didn't look at it till later. And yeah, other than that, I mean, it was an awesome day in terms of went and met a Marine that I helped a year ago, and you know, so my days are full. You know, between getting ready for today, which post-medical will go a couple times today, and between getting ready for that and the audiovisual checks, and I taught a class, I taught my decision-making class to my son's company, to the NCOs of his company, and then I had lunch with a Marine and met his wife, and a great day. And then I see that text message. I'm like, shit. So, So if you were looking to listen to it, I hope you checked out the podcast site. And the same thing, for today, the first hour will go up, right at 08 Pacific time. It should hit the website. And then, at 09 Pacific time, hour two goes up. So I've kind of automated that. So that happens regardless of what I do relative to button pushing. I wish I could find a way to automate, you know, and schedule, but I haven't found a player that allows me to do that. So a bit frustrating. I could spend a few thousand dollars and do it, but I just don't really want to do that now. But yesterday was enjoyable. First of all, I know a ton of people here, right? And And I'll tell you this, 2nd Marine Division is further down the road in this discussion of how do we do this than anybody I've seen. And part of it is, you know, a big part of it is the emphasis that General Furness puts on it. And so, I mean, and the class opens the door, but then what they do. And so it's interesting, wherever I go, I mean, I see people and they say hi. And so we start talking and they start telling me, give me their thoughts and what they've learned and all the rest. And it's, I tell you, it's, I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome. So I love coming back here. And then the decision-making class that I teach is a class I've been teaching since 1990-91 when I created it essentially. And Major John Allen, who was at the Infantry Officer Course, I walked in and, asked to talk to him about it. And he said, Mac, I think that's a great idea. Let's find time for it. And we'll sit down and we'll proof it and we'll get a good concept and whatnot. And so, so that's how, the decision class. And I think it's really interesting because it revolves around a couple mature tactical subjects. And that is the concept of, one is the concept of initiative. All throughout the military, you see people get told, you know, about initiative. But I believe our understanding of initiative is pretty immature. We don't really describe the context in which, you know, initiative takes place. Initiative takes place in the context of whatever larger unit you're a part of. So if you're a squad leader, your initiative takes place in the context of the platoon. And when you do something different than everybody else expects you to do, people can get killed because there's other people that don't expect you to be there. They expect you to be here per the order I just sat through the rehearsal, per the rehearsal we just did, right? And all of a sudden somebody else is there. They haven't coordinated it. I think they're bad guys and I'm getting ready to drop bombs on them. And, and that happens. I've seen the investigations. I saw the incidents when they happened. And so, a long time ago, I created a term that I call coordinated initiative. In that as soon as you begin to feel like you have to deviate from the plan, and there are times when you have to do that, then what you need to do is let somebody know immediately. And if you can't get them on the radio, then you got to do what you think is best, but you got to continue to keep trying to raise them so they understand what's so important that you've changed your mission for, because they may have already accounted for it and you just don't know it. Right, so we're moving, and you see something, and you're, let's just say, on the, you're on the flank of a fill in the blank formation, and you see something that you think can affect, you know, the main effort, and if you don't deal with it, that the battalion or the larger mission, the company, battalion, platoon, is going to be impacted, and you can't get anybody on radio, so you're going to act. So again, the reason you continue to try to raise them as you begin to make that decision is so they might say, negative, Ghost Rider, right? There's Cobras inbound to deal with that. Keep an eye on it. Continue to push, you know, with the XYZ, whatever the larger unit is. And so that's how you do it. So the whole thing ought to be taught as this concept of coordinated initiative. It is initiative in the context of the team, not in the context of what you think is right. So I mean, I love that discussion, right? Because it's advanced understanding of what it is to be a skilled infantryman, a skilled fighter in the context of a team, in a context of a team that brings incredible lethality. So I got a chance to do that. And then, you know, I'll tell you, the other thing that's a kick in the pants is, you know, my son's the company commander, right? So, you know, he introduced me. So, you know, I'm sitting there, and he walks up in front of the room of full of his Marines. You know, and again, I talk about how tickled I get when I watch him be a dad, right? And I get the same feeling of watching him be, now he's Captain Mac. I mean, I used to be the only one named Captain Mac in the family. But now there's the second one. And, you know, there's certain things as a professional you look for, like, you know, how's he carry himself? How do people respond to him? And so it's fun to watch. You know, it's fun to watch your kids, and you're so proud of them as they do good things. And so it was awesome to watch him. And then during the presentation, you know, he got up and spoke, you know, a couple different times. And so it was a good day. And then, you know, this is the fourth or fifth time I've been back here to do post-traumatic winning. And whenever we do it at the Camp Lejeune Base Theater, we don't use the theater projector. We use a portable one that's brought down in front. It's not as powerful as the big one. You know, part of the picture washes out because there's ambient light in the room and things like that. So there's a new manager here. And so I told her what a dork I am. I said, I have a remote control that will go 1,000 feet. And she looked at me. She said, what? I said, is it possible that we could test out the big projector? She said, sure. She said, 1,000 feet. I said, yep, that's what it says. She goes, wow. So we did. And it took us a while, but we got everything to work. And it's a lot better. And so we were doing that and troubleshooting that. So that was awesome, except that I left my cell phone inside the theater. And, yeah, I was not too happy about that. But que sera, sera. I'm fortunate in that I have my business cell phone, so I'm not incommunicado. So tell my friends and family that, hey, I'm on this number if anybody's looking for me. What happened? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So, and then I got a chance to, there's not too many people in my life that if they say, stick this in your mouth, I would. But my daughter-in-law, Susie, is one of those people. She's a foodie. In fact, she's going to be our celebrity guest chef this week. And so you're going to get to meet Susie, my daughter-in-law. And we're going to talk. You'll meet her. And then we'll talk food with Susie. So I think you'll enjoy that. But she's a phenomenal cook. And so I got a chance to eat dinner with them and then come back here to work. What you're going to hear in today is I didn't do a very good job when we did this interview that you're going to hear. And so I needed to reframe it. But let me tell you the significance of it. The significance is, as I've studied the problem of mental health inside the Marine Corps, inside the DOD, I've come to some conclusions. And when you look at this serious mental health illness, right, number, it's 10% of the population. It's like, I want to say less than 3% of the DOD. And that's serious mental health. And so you look at the suicide numbers and the divorce numbers and the alcohol numbers and things like that. So what's going on? Those numbers are way bigger than, you know, and you can't dismiss them by saying, oh, that, you know, those guys, you know, those women are, you know, those people are fucked up. Well, they're not. By definition, they're not. So what is it? And I would tell you, you're going to hear from somebody, Major Janelle Hamp, United States Marine Corps. She's graduated the Naval Academy. You know, you're going to listen to her approach to stress in life, which is, I think, the average approach to most people, which is power through it. You're an achiever, right? She's a Naval Academy girl, right? And she's an officer in the Marine Corps. Power through it. Except it doesn't always work so good like that. It doesn't work that way very well. And sometimes if you think that although physical health applies to you, but mental health doesn't apply to me. It might apply to other people, but it doesn't apply to me. If you say that, you're stupid. It absolutely does. And by denying that it applies to you, you hurt yourself, you hurt the people who care about you, and you hurt your relationship with them. And so so the interview is you'll hear Janelle telling the story of her career, and but there's nothing wrong with her, right? And slowly but surely, the stress and the mental pressure is piling up and piling up, but it doesn't apply to her. And I would tell you that is a huge problem in our society, in our culture. I think those might be close to the same thing. And it's also a huge problem in the military. Come on. Military people, man, we're not impacted by that. We're super people. No, you're not. And the destructive behavior statistics bear that out. You are not exceptional. You are as susceptible as everybody else is. So anyway, you're going to hear two parts of that interview. You're going to hear, the first part is I brought Janelle back last night, and I wanted to frame the interview better from the perspective of this issue. It's people that would consider themselves normal, right? They might struggle a little bit, but nothing out of the ordinary. So, you know, does this stuff really apply to me? No, it applies to people that have mental health issues. Well, what happens if that's wrong? What happens if it applies to everybody? Because at some point, everybody's going to struggle. What happens if that's the truth? Ooh, really? So anyway, so you're going to hear that. So the first part is us framing the interview, and then you're going to hear her talk about, you know, her career and what she's learned and that whole experience. So you'll enjoy it. But again, I think it's a question that most of us need to look inward and ask, right? And what the ask is, am I taking good enough care of myself relative to my mental wellness? Am I doing that? Or am I slowly but surely getting angrier? Or am I slowly but surely getting more violent? Am I slowly but surely not being able to bounce back from difficult things that I face? Right? Am I drinking more? Have I stopped my physical fitness routine? Do I talk about it? And to me, as you begin to answer those questions, right? As you begin to answer those questions, you'll see that this stuff applies to everybody. And if everybody would take it to heart that I'm nothing special. Well, I am special, but I'm special like everybody else is special, which makes me not special. I'm unique like everybody, but I'm nothing special. The rules of the planet apply to me, and mental wellness is a pretty good rule. So you're going to hear that here coming up today. So good morning to you. If you didn't hear yesterday's program, keep Peyton Davis and F-18 man and their families in your prayers after Peyton lost her younger sister to COVID-19. And, tough stuff. So good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning. this is dedicated to Major Janelle Hamp. And she, very gracious. A lot of times people, especially people on active duty, won't come on and talk about these kind of mental health issues because, right, nobody wants to show that they're actually human when you're on active duty. So she, very gracious and courageous for having the courage to be honest and talking about something that plagues all of us, you know, mental wellness. All right. You're a normal person and you have stress in your life. You're expected to deal with that. You have a family you support. You know, you have a good career and all that pressure goes someplace. And, so don't be in denial that these things don't impact you. So, this is dedicated to Janelle. And my thanks to her for doing an interview that I think is really important, and that is it applies to people under the long axis of the bell curve, not the people way out there on the fringes, right? And that is this, right? Mental wellness applies to all of us, and we all need to pay more attention and take better care of ourselves.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fighting. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, normally we check the weather, but I'm not going to do that. Just a couple of stories that that I just wanted to mention. One is an appeals judge ruled that the charges against Michael Flynn should be dropped. And I have to say, you know, I mean, we're supposed to be a nation of laws. So when a judge just decides that, yeah, I'm not doing that, like, what the hell is that? The other one is North Korea says they're going to back off some of their threats relative to South Korea. And you watch that, and it's just like, oh, my God. What the hell? And so, yeah, it's, you know, crazy land. And again, there's a whole series of articles. You're seeing the, you know, 70th anniversary of the beginning of the Korean War. You know, and that peninsula is still unstable. That peninsula is still unstable. And owe it to General MacArthur and him being in denial about whether the Chinese, you know, were near the Yalu, as his intelligence reports were stating, and other people were poo-pooing and say, oh, no, it could never happen. On his staff, when Marines were capturing the Chinese soldiers, you know, the advanced element of the 8th Army was capturing, you know, Chinese soldiers. No, they're not. They can't be Chinese. Not where they're at. Are you kidding me? And so, yeah, I mean, maybe instead of continuing the advance to the Yalu River. Maybe if the United States consolidated, that Chinese would have got whacked in relatively short order, and that thing would have ended in 1950-51 with a much different look on the Korean Peninsula. But thanks to an arrogant American Caesar, as Manchester called him, those columns of the 1st Marine Division and the 8th Army continued north into the Chinese that were waiting for them. And we all know what happened. So now we reside along the 38th parallel, and you have you know, a crazy dude in charge of a country with a crazy sister waiting right behind him. So not exactly the best scenario. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you're going to hear from Major Janelle Hamp in something we recorded last night. And again, framing the interview we do today, which I think is hugely important. And if you believe that you're a normal person, and that, you know, that really mental wellness is only for people that have, you know, mental health issues, you need to listen to this interview. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right. You're about to listen to a really important interview that I did a not very good job of framing. And here's why I think it's important. The interview is with Major Janelle Hamp. So, Janelle, first of all, thanks for doing part two of this interview. We appreciate it. And let me just explain to everybody why I think this interview is important. When you look at mental health statistics in the country, I want to say that, and you look at serious mental illness. So, bipolar, schizophrenic, manically depressed, and those illnesses, they're about 10-11% of the population. Okay, so what is 90% of the population dealing with, right? If they're not categorized by serious mental illnesses. Well, in my opinion, you have people that get overwhelmed, right? And they support families, they're achievers. They come from all different, you know, walks of life. And what I believe, after doing what I've do now for into the fifth year of doing interviews on All Marine Radio, and then, you know, into the second year of doing post-traumatic winning, what my experience is, the problem we have with a lot of destructive behavior, and it ranges from suicide to alcoholism to divorce to domestic violence, is this. It's people that don't have serious mental illnesses, because you can't stay in the military with them, but they're overwhelmed by life. My experience is that a lot of times it's stuff that happens to you when you're a kid is part of it. And then there's another segment, I think, that Janelle represents, and that is this. It's people that are achieving, that are working, that aren't taking care of themselves. And they work and they work, and then one day they wake up and they're like, what's happened to me? What's going on? I'm not in control of my life. I don't like the place where I'm at in my head. And so I wanted to bring Janelle on a second time and talk about that stuff before you hear the interview. So I just want to do a little bit better job on my part of framing it. So Janelle, welcome back to All Marine Radio. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right. The interview everybody's going to hear is you talking about your struggle to come to grips with something that you weren't really sure about. How do you explain it when you talk about it?
I'd say it was like a wake up call, really awareness, I would say. I was pushing through in terms of life and assignments and everything, and I wasn't really aware of how I was pushing through it. And I had never been taught, you know, tools to deal with stress and in the way that would have been effective preventative. I learned all of that stuff after the ER visit and everything else. And I think that
don't spoil the interview, for God's sakes, man.
Oh,
come on, you're giving it away,
man.
No.
All
right. Okay, so let me ask you this. No, it's all right, I'm just kidding.
Well, I think maybe I could just say what I realize now is that once I shared my story with other peers and other parents, like, everybody could relate to just that level of dealing with life and stress and not knowing how to deal with it effectively.
Okay. So let me ask you this. So did you think that were you at all aware that you might be susceptible to prolonged stress, prolonged mental stress injury, or was your attitude just that, oh no, I'll just power through this too?
I definitely thought when we had, you know, those trainings and they talk about stress continuum, I was like, oh, that doesn't apply to me. I'm above that. I'm stronger than that. And I realized that was, you know, stupidity and pride instead of being honest with myself about my own limits.
The problem with it, though, is it's a little bit of truth, too, though, right? I mean, you'll hear this, but Janelle's a graduate of the Naval Academy. So, I mean, so she's an achiever, and she, you know, was obviously an achiever in high school because she qualified to go there. You know, to graduate, you have to be an achiever, right? She's a female Marine officer, and whether anybody cares to admit this, we expect more out of female. It's not good enough to be okay. Marine officers, female Marine officers, constantly have to reprove themselves. And so, and I know that's not fair, but, and I know they feel it, and that's the way it is in the Marine Corps. And when you sign up for that challenge, you don't do that because you're afraid of one. And so conquering things is not a small piece of it. And so the reason I think this interview is so important is that if we don't think that the rules of stress apply to us, and I'll just tell a quick story about myself. I was the operations officer at a unit before I got out of the Marine Corps. We lost our XO. We got a new one. He essentially said, I don't want to work this hard. And he said, I'm going terminal leave. This is not what I came here to do. And it was like, what? And then I got asked, do you mind being the OPSO and the XO? And it was a unit that, a high tempo unit deploying and redeploying people, forming task force out of different parts of the MEF, deploying, you know, it was a day on, stay on job, and you needed about four people to make it go in terms of, you know, on the officer side, you needed the OPSO, you need the XO, you need the four, and you need the one. You need those people because you were constantly forming units and tasking units, or the MEF was tasking units. You were gathering them, and they were pushing back, and so it was a nightmare. And that's when I went to therapy for the first time, because I could feel myself. It was something that was wrong. Something was broken, and something I hadn't experienced. And I was feeling hate like I hadn't felt it inside the United States, at least. I'd felt it overseas like this, but not in the United States. And I knew I was going backwards. But so Janelle and I, she had a similar situation where you were a company commander and the four, yes?
Yep.
And you're, I mean...
For the second time in my career, because that had already happened once in a previous tour.
So you're the logistics officer and a company commander. And so those are both full-time jobs. And she's, you know, and you have a kid and your husband's deployed, but your job is to get stuff done. So I think this interview is really important because I think it speaks to the fact that, and I don't care if you're a civilian now listening, I don't care if you're an active duty Marine, I don't care if you're a reserve Marine, this happens in our lives, okay? And it might be happening in your civilian life, it might be happening in your military life, but you've got to take care of you and you've got to know the signs. And, you know, you'll hear Janelle tell her story and talk about the tools that she got afterwards. But this whole thing, how do you say it? Because you're not in denial. You don't even know what's happening to you, right?
Exactly. I think it comes to like a paradigm shift in how we think about mental health and how, you know, hey, you go to the gym to stay in shape because you have this, you know, you have this mindset that like, no matter how fast I am, I can get faster. No matter how strong I am, I can get stronger. And I think if we just take that same drive that we have for physical health and apply it to our mental health across the board, all ranks, all stages of life, you know, regardless of whether you're in the military or not, I think that's the approach that would have helped me learn some of this stuff along the way and start applying it in a way that would have, I think, prevented things from getting to where they were.
So what do you think would have helped you understand this better earlier? Would it have been hearing people like you talk, people like me talk? Like, look, I've always done anything, I put my head to, as a Marine, pretty much in my life. And all of a sudden I find myself, I'm not normal. But, and the reason I ask that is because what I see so much, in terms of destructive behavior numbers, it's people like that. They're not bipolar, schizophrenic. They're overwhelmed. They don't know where to go. They don't want to say anything because they don't want to be deemed a failure. And so they fake it, right? Some resort to alcohol, right? Some, if they isolate themselves, that's when they begin to go down that path that leads to really, really bad stuff, to include suicide. Because they don't want anybody to know. It's their little secret they can't hang anymore. And so what do you think would have made the difference for you? What would have made it more real for you that this was something that did apply to you?
That's a really good question. I'm not sure if there is one solution. I think for me, looking back, the two main tools that I knew to deal with stress were PT, physical training, and drinking. And I think that those are pretty universal among the Marine Corps. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, if you're stressed, just go for a run, or, all right, you get home at the end of the day, you have a beer. But there are so many just like in the moment things that just, basic mindfulness tools that I think more people are now learning through the VA or through other things afterwards, that, maybe if that was just integrated, like maybe if half of the suicide prevention training that we did covered like personal mindfulness tools. 'Cause I feel like we all know, like we all go through training for other suicide prevention stuff, but maybe not like, hey, how do you recognize and have awareness when your own like levels are being reached to like dial back some of those stress reactions? And I think it makes us more, it made me more efficient in my job and in my life. Once I learned this stuff, like I was able to survive COVID a lot better, I think, than some people that maybe COVID was their breaking point. And everything, getting shut down and losing social support. I don't know. I don't really have one answer. I think there's a lot of people that are out there trying to do this. Like, there's so many, once you venture into this realm, you find people like you with post-traumatic winning, you find other organizations out there that are trying to teach people different ways.
It's the broad spectrum of wellness, mental wellness.
Yeah.
And, and in fact, I'm on the second draft of my book, and one of the sections that's bigger than I ever thought it would be is wellness. I'm like, well, this isn't sexy. I mean, it's not, but it's a big section of the book, maybe for a good reason. And it starts with very, very fundamental stuff, and you've got to do this stuff, right? And so when you go through the Ten Commandments of post-traumatic winning, right, talking about, you've got to talk about it, and you've got to talk about it for you, not for anybody else. You've got to talk about it for you. You've got to take care of your money for you, right? Because you get to a crazy spot like this, and if you're struggling financially, right, you become the Mad Hatter. You become nutsos, right? And that those financial problems layered on top of this just accelerate whatever spiral that you're in, right? Add alcohol to it, and then throw in that I don't talk to anybody. So I'm, even though I might be married or I might have a significant other, I've isolated myself. And you can see it's almost predictable. Yep. Check that one, check that one, check that one. Okay, man, you are on your way. You've just punched the express ticket for something bad to happen in your life. It's important that everybody realize that being well mentally, and I will tell you this, I talk to a lot of people. In fact, I'm back here in Camp Lejeune this week, at the end of the week. And today, as a matter of fact, I'll speak to, you know, another couple thousand Marines, doing post-traumatic winning for the 2nd Marine Division. And, while I'm here, I get to see Marines that I've already helped. I went to lunch with a Marine who wanted me to meet his wife today, who was really struggling last year. He's a completely different human being right now. I mean, and there's a ton of them here. And so it's a wonderful experience, but they've all gone through an epiphany about mental health, that, oh, there is nothing wrong with me. Oh, this is normal. But it seems like we're not doing a good enough job marketing that look, you've got to do this stuff. This is normal behavior. And what's really abnormal is faking like it doesn't affect you and faking like, yeah, you know, it doesn't apply to you. That's what's abnormal. So that's the interview you're going to hear. What else about framing it, Janelle, and understanding it would you tell people?
I think I would just say, you know, if you're walking into this and maybe you're one of those people that feel like it hasn't happened to you, you know, that's probably where I would have placed myself, 12 to 14 months ago. I would have been exactly in your shoes being like, yeah, okay, this probably doesn't apply to me. But maybe once you listen to it, you'll recognize some of the, signs or things in my story that might be relatable. And I think there's nothing wrong, exactly what you just said, Mac, like there's nothing wrong with you. It's completely normal and it's okay to speak up. And if you start noticing like things are sounding really familiar, then, you know, find a trusted friend, reach out to anybody and, start learning the things that can help you. And I think that's just where it starts, like recognizing and then having a determination to get better and not stopping and learning everything you can until you reach that place of mental wellness. And then basically like get yourself in that place where you have this like daily checklist of, you know, okay, I'm doing these things to be physically healthy and I'm doing these things to be mentally healthy. And, you know, and it's not an overnight journey. It's a day on, stay on, months and months. So I think that's what I got.
Okay. All right. No, I mean, I think that's well said. First of all, it does apply to you. It applies to everybody. It would be as ridiculous as somebody say, yeah, physical wellness, that doesn't apply to me. Okay. I mean, we would listen to that and go, wow, that's what an idiot, right? Well, you know, I think if you don't think that, you know, mental wellness applies to you, that's just as idiotic. And so, you know, I think over and over, one of the themes or the horizontal themes of All Marine Radio is this. There's great people that come on this program on a regular basis and talk about their struggles. I mean, Carl, you know, Carl Marlanis, Navy Cross recipient from Vietnam. He's a Rhodes Scholar. And he tells a story about bringing groceries in. He's got two little girls. He's on his second marriage. And he's got his hands full of groceries. And he can, you know, and I don't know if men are more guilty of this than women, but he doesn't want to put the grocery down. So he's trying to open the doorknob, but he can't rotate his wrist too much or he's going to drop a bag of groceries. And so he finally gets it open and it's like, you know, this small victory for man, right? He shoves, he pushes the door open and one of his little girls had put the chain latch on the door. So he goes to step through the door now and the door hits the chain and then he hits the door and he snaps, drops the groceries, and with both doors, hands, right, he hammers the door off its wooden frame. And his little girls are there like, mommy, right, daddy, right? And they go running out of the room. And he felt horrible because he knew he scared them, right? But it's that explosive anger that he had in him, right? And his second wife, involved in mental health, she came out and she sticks her head around the corner and she says, "Did somebody not take their medication today?" And he said, "I think I forgot." And it wasn't a big deal, and she knew how to deal with it, right? But, I mean, Rhodes Scholar, Navy Cross recipient, right? He's an achiever in life. This stuff is supposed to affect him. And the story he tells about the way he finds out about PTSD is, I think his second wife, they're having an occupational therapy screening thing at his where he works. And she says, "I think she should go to that." And he says, "Really?" And she says, "Yeah." So anyway, it's typical Vietnam stuff. You know, his kids wake him up in the middle of the night. And they used to say, "I'm not waking him up. You wake him up," right? Because of the crazy stuff he would do, you know? And so anyway, he tells a story that, you know, he goes down and all these people are there. And he finally waits his turn. And so the guy says, "So how can I help you?" He goes, "Well, my wife thought it was a good idea that I come talk to you." And he said, "Well, do you think you have a problem?" He said, "I get angry every once in a while." And the guy says, "Do you sleep through the night?" He said, "No." And most nights, no. And he said, "Is your anger related to anything?" He said, "Well, I'm not sure." And the guy looks at him and says, "Are you a Vietnam vet?" And he says, "I started crying and my wife had to come get me." He said, "I'd held that in for all those years." And this guy's a best-selling author, right? Again, Rhodes Scholar and all of that. And so you hear these stories on this radio station all the time. And they're normal people. They're achievers. But we, for whatever reason, we're in denial. And just like Janelle, just like me, we'll pay attention to ourselves physically, but not mentally. For some reason, we're in denial of that. And again, the reason I wanted to Janelle to come on, you know, again and do this kind of preamble to the interview is this. The suicide and destructive behavior problem, in my opinion, in the DOD and in the country, is not fueled by people with mental health, serious mental health illnesses. It's fueled by people that don't have serious mental health issues, that don't know how to deal with the stress that's building in their life. And so they fake it. They get lost in alcohol, and then, you know, their life takes a bad turn and they're isolated, and then something really bad happens. And so I think Janelle's interview is really important. And I want to thank you for coming on and doing this little blurb with it as well. So without any further ado, Janelle, thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me, Mac.
All right. Janelle's interview coming up next right here on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.